yesterday, today, and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jesus the Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, good morning, children of the risen Lord.
Good morning.
Let us this morning first acknowledge that we are all in a sad and sensitive time. Heavenly Father, we ask that you hear our prayers for the Fitzgerald family at this time, this season of loss, grief, and sorrow, and for our season of loss, grief, and sorrow as well. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the sermon this morning will be a little different in form and function, I feel, as it should be. It will be a little quieter and a little gentler. I will not wander around, as I don't want George and Glad to have to pick me up. But first, I'd like to look for a few minutes at our scriptures before we go on, and look for any messages that we receive from the Holy Spirit. Our Old Testament lesson this morning from Ecclesiastes. By the way, Ecclesiastes in Greek means to the assembled. So it's a message to all of us that are assembled here. It's a reading that I feel Solomon, who traditionally is taught that he was probably in his old age at this time, is telling people, us, to use the tools that God has given to us. In our reading today, verse 10 said, if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength to get the job done. But wisdom helps one to succeed. We are, I think, to use the tools that the Holy Spirit gives to us. So therefore, use your heart, use your brain, use your love, use your compassion, and keep them sharp, especially in a time like this, which can make them dull or blur our edges. Because verse 16 of that same scripture says, through sloth, which means idleness, apathy, the roof will sink in. And through indolence, which means idleness or spiritual idleness, the house will leak. We don't need the house to leak. Therefore, stay busy being an active Christian, even in times like this. Use and sharpen the tools that God gives you. Our psalm this morning, Psalm 112, in it we learn that it is important for us to realize that we have or still have strength even when we are emotionally drained. Therefore, we need to use our strength or strengths, because verse 6 and 7 of that psalm say, the righteous, meaning the upright, the ethical, will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of bad news, even sad, heart-rending news. Their hearts are firm, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries and on his adversities. We all need to use our core inner strength, our faith strength that is within us. So use your strength, and God will then strengthen you again. In our epistle, which was letter to the Hebrews, we read in verse 13, let brotherly, which means affectionate, let affectionate love continue towards people in the church or folks who have left this branch of the church. That is, as Christians, there should be no gossiping, no reproving, no sniping, no criticizing. nothing derogatory should come from us as witnesses of Jesus the Christ. Because in verse 8 of the epistle, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Therefore, we should be models of love and tenderness and understanding. In other words, use your Christian love. And our gospel from Luke tells us to be humble. Verse 10 referenced that we do not need to be seen as important. We need to be seen as loving. And it says, go and sit at the lowest place at a feast. You see, to me, titles and designations do not matter. I would rather be known as your Christian brother Cass more than anything else. The lesson also then tells us to be open to newcomers, open to the faith, to the poor, to the crippled, to the lame, to the blind. And it says, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Thank you, Jesus. So you'll use tools of generosity, and particularly generosity of spirit, that God gives to each of us. Now let's change tracks for a moment. As an introduction, grief and bereavement are never easy, but they are even harder when someone is simply too young to die. In our minds and in our hearts, we know this. The tragic and untimely death of Lila leaves us all almost speechless. And what to say or what to do is hard for us to know exactly. No words seem good enough, and that's okay. Brandy and Joey and the boys will see and feel the love and compassion in your faces and in your eyes. But there are some topics we need to talk about in connection with this. There is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was somewhat famous as a Christian counselor. And what she came up with was something called the stages of grief. And what she stated as the stages of grief are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, finally. So denial. Denial means the feeling of being emotionally overwhelmed, completely drained and exhausted. I believe we have all been in that stage. The second is anger. And there is so much to process when something happens that anger may feel like it allows us an emotional outlet by being angry at the situation and even being angry towards God. And I will tell you, that's okay, because God has broad and loving shoulders. Next one is bargaining. That's usually if someone is in end stage of disease or something like that. And it's when we say, if you, God, will only do this, I will do this. That does not pertain to this, but it is a stage of grief. The next one is depression. The emotional fog from the denial stage here begins to clear. And the loss then feels more present and unavoidable. In moments like this, we tend to pull inward as the sadness grows. And that's the time when we inwardly need to reach out. The next stage of those stages is acceptance. In other words, we are no longer resisting the reality of our situation, and we are not struggling to make it something different. However, sadness, loss, and regret are still very present in this phase, and those steps are not in order. It's not a formula that you go from this step to this. You will go back and forth between different steps, but you should be aware of where you are and aware for yourself in your heart. We need to talk a little bit about Lila's death, Lila's life, and especially about God's grace. Lila's passing. Lila's death was tragic. She was far too young. Her family loved her and wanted her. There were too many good reasons for her to live. And so her death seems so profoundly out of order for us. Children are not supposed to pass before their parents. Yet Lila's parents lost a daughter. Lila's death is difficult for all of us to understand. All we can do at this moment in time and in the days and weeks and months ahead is to acknowledge and love and remember and often offer prayers as often as we can. From all I have known and have seen, family, friends, and church members simply loved her. Life is precious. Lila was and is precious. And from what I have observed over a number of years here, you, as her Christian family, were there for Lila. You loved her. You cared for her. You cared about her. As you do about all the children that are in this church as members of our Christian family. But as necessary as it might be to talk about all of this, it is a disservice to all that is good to measure Lila's life by her passing. Therefore, we need to talk for a moment about Lila's life. This little girl was just 11 years old, or better stated, 11 years young. She was blessed to have been adopted by Brandy and Joey, therefore becoming a Fitzgerald. I can relate. And my heart, like yours, is broken as I was adopted as a toddler and became a Daly. Lila, through her adoption, had a mom and dad, big brothers, and a slew of grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends. Sadly, many children do not. She did because of you. And all of us, I feel, have an 11-year-old inside of us, still and always. So there are times and events and circumstances when you might feel outsized wonder, joy, marvel, and delight. When those times, events, and circumstances happen joyfully, think of them as your Lila moments. What I have been able to witness here was Lila and her joy and her enthusiasm and definitely her energy. We have to talk about God's grace. I mentioned there are three topics that we would talk about: passing, living, and God's grace. Lila was a Christian who was and is the beneficiary of the grace of God, God's unconditional love for each of us. God's grace is his good favor, his gift for us through Jesus the Christ. The greatest gift from God is Jesus, his son, who came from heaven to die on a cross for our sins, for yours and for mine. In fact, It was because of sin and pain and difficulty in each of our lives that Jesus did come, so that we, you and I, could be redeemed, could be saved from the problems, sins, and failings of our own lives. And still, we could be assured, confident, and certain of heaven in the next life. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am sure that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Today, Lila is in the presence of God, experiencing the joy of God Himself. In her life with us, many of you, whether you realize it or not, were God's agents of love, kindness, joy, and affection. Pardon me. You are God's agents to her, whether with a glance, a smile, a hug, a laughing moment. And now the Fitzgerald family needs love and compassion and time and rest. By definition, an angel is a messenger. Through your love, your attention, your acceptance, your caring for Lila, here in this, her Christian family, you were and are God's agents and messengers, whether realized or not. God's grace for us is like a bright light. In good times, it can be hard to see. I think we have a baby needs mommy. In good times, that light might be hard to see. It shines brightness in the darkness. And death is the great darkness we can face. Yet we still look forward together. The best advice for all of us is not to focus on the darkness. Even though there may be lots of it around, focus on the brilliant light and grace of God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love that He has for Lila and for us. At a conclusion, when I was a boy, I read a story in Boy's Life, which is the Boy's Life magazine from Boy Scouting. And in it, I still remember the story today. It was about two boys who took a detour on their walk home from school. They had visited a new subdivision that was being built and discovered that there was a long, long tunnel that went under a new road and through some woodlands. It was a long, dark, and shadowy tunnel that kind of scared one of the two boys. The other boy insisted that they go through it, but there was no way that boy number two was going to go in there. He was scared. In truth, I think I relate a little bit more to boy number two. In any case, the first boy went in alone. When he had disappeared out of sight into the darkness, the second boy was sure he was gone forever. He began thinking how hard it would be to tell boy number one's mother what might have happened to him. A few minutes later, to his surprise, the first boy called to him from the road way above the tunnel. And he said that he had gone all the way through, come out on the other side, and was now standing there above him, telling him it was okay to come on through and that he would meet him on the other side. Many times since, I have thought that this must have been much like death. For many of us, a long, dark, and shadowy tunnel that seems dangerous and frightening. And then our Lord Jesus stepped out ahead of us stepped out above us, died on the cross for us, and traveled the tunnel alone. And he came out on the other side and now stands in heaven, promising to meet each and every one of us there. I believe Lila traveled the tunnel, albeit way too soon. But I am convinced that she met Jesus waiting for her on the other side, instantly welcoming her to heaven and eternal life. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And all God's children were blessed to say, Amen and Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.